Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Happy New Year to everybody. Today we're going to have an important show to kick off the new year, one that I think people are really going to be excited to hear about. I have a guest who I haven't spoken with for quite a while, but with everything going on from the economic standpoint, as I was speaking to her before we started the show, there seems to be this black or white or, you know, one way to do things. And if you don't do it, cash is not the way to go, and then you have to do digital. And there's so many problems with virtual money, in my opinion. It takes us out of what we commerce, of speaking with each other, of actually finding value in the services that we buy and the services that we offer to people. And I wanted to have Ms. Lori Sosa come back on today. She is the creator of Southern Barter Club. And full disclosure, I'm a member because I find this whole process to be the way of the future, honestly, where we can give our value. You know, I'm a small business owner, so I'm a doctor. And the thing that really irks me the most is that somebody else puts value on what I offer my patients. The insurance companies do, the government does. I think it's time that we actually are able to work amongst ourselves. So our value is, first of all, for lack of a better way to put it, valued, and we get what we deserve. And so, Ms. Sosa, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, because it's a topic that a lot of people don't know about. They think of barter as something that it's hard to do and they don't have a facility with it. So I wanted to say, one, Happy New Year and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. George. And it's good to reconnect, and I truly hope that your new year is off to an amazing start.
Well, thank you. It's so far so good, because my mindset is about taking control over every aspect of my life this year. And our economic control, which seems to be slipping a lot of ways, that's one foremost and on the forefront of my mind. So let's start from the beginning. This is such an amazing niche that you've created. I know it's not even a niche, it's a pathway. So I wanted to start off with, how did you start this? What made you think outside the box?
Well, I guess I always have a thought on that side of the brain, and I do think outside the box. Oftentimes, opportunities are missed because sometimes it's just either, like you said, black or white, and there's no thinking beyond that. And so having a research company that I had at the time and a women's and children's boutique at the time, people would come in and they'd look at our services, or in the case of the retail store, our products. And maybe it wasn't necessarily available for everyone. And so I love the idea of being able to say, well, you know, what kind of business do you have? And just start a conversation, because, you know, I'm opening, my mind to being able to have some type of commerce where you could enjoy something, whether it's our goods or services, or, just be able to, maybe it's, for example, many times, at my doorstep, at my building, there would be, you know, someone coming saying, I'm selling billboards, or I'm selling print advertising. And I realized, you know, I have a lot of assets that are just not 100% occupied all of the time. Let me go ahead and see if I could, you know, bring value. And so I started that way. So I just always was, you know, thinking of, you know, how could I just make it a win-win, for everybody involved? And then I further researched it and found out, to my surprise, that it was actually a multi-billion dollar industry, that even with organized effort, you know, that there's currencies all over the world. So it's like so exciting for me to find that out. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to start slowly on my own and create my own little ecosystem. And then I'm going to take it on a grander scale. I want to get to, make it beyond just, you know, the South. So we did start Southern Barter Club. And then, you know, all these years later, we started that in 2009. You know, we're excited to say that we're on, you know, literally in other countries, So it's not limited to Southern. So now our website is sccglobalbarter.com. So yeah, it started with just really in the spirit of collaboration and opportunity not to have a lost opportunity. And excited to say that, you know, now all these years later, we just have an amazing ecosystem. And I am truly an advocate, not just of, hey, join an official professional, you know, barter exchange, trade exchange such as SBC, but the mindset, you know, get the barter mindset, period, because then, you know, you can go from just surviving to thriving, creating new opportunities right under your nose, with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your colleagues. So that's pretty much the mindset of starting a barter trade system.
It seems to me that, again, that nucleus of it is knowing what you're worth, right? Having this, what I offer is valuable. I'm valuable. Nobody gets to put their foot on my neck in terms of what I can charge or what I perceive something that I want to offer to my barter partner. And is this from a standpoint of, this is about being an entrepreneur, isn't it? If this, I think of barter as the, from in an ecosystem where everybody's their own boss, where they're owning their own, they provide a service, whether that's crafts, whether it's medical services, whether it's car repair, if there's no limit, as long as you have a skill that you can share and that somebody else finds valuable, then that's the engine that drives this. So is it right to think of it as an entrepreneur pathway versus a corporate pathway?
Well, I agree with both those statements. It is absolutely an entrepreneurial pathway. And it just opens up so many doors that besides, you know, the value of, you know, being able to conduct business with your true value, what you're expecting, and receiving the true value back of what you put into the trade. But also on a corporate level, I think it's a close to 40% of the, you know, the businesses on the stock exchange literally, you know, engage in some sort of trade. You know, even like if you look at the Olympics, mm-hmm. It may not be a corporate trade through like a corporate structure such as our company. But look, if you see a specific brand, a polo shirt, and now, you know, at the Olympics, as an example, oftentimes that's actually just been a trade. So they needed the shirt. They have, you know, all the millions of people viewing and many that are attending. And, so they're saying, yeah, you can have your logo on these shirts, but provide the shirts and we're giving you the sponsorship value. So yeah, corporations do it, but it all starts from an entrepreneur mindset and a barter mindset.
One thing that always strikes me about being a small business is that we don't have the deep pockets to advertise, to put ourselves out there. I always think of the small business as the best kept secret. It's word of mouth. It's your people who use your services, who speak about you. But you can't really compete when you're talking about you versus this Goliath that can advertise nonstop, really, on every single platform. It seems to me that some of the barter's opportunities actually levels the playing field. I recall back when I first started with SBC that I had put out a billboard, and billboards are quite expensive. And to be able to barter something like that really does give you a lot more bang for not any money coming out of your pocket. Is that from a marketing standpoint?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, from a marketing standpoint and from the small business standpoint, you are now gaining a competitive edge over your competitor. Because maybe the competitor down the street, as an example, if there's two restaurants that are very similar in their menu, in the amenities inside the restaurant, etc. You may wonder, well, how do they have the best uniforms, or how do they get to give the most amazing, vacations and cruises as gifts at the end of the year? How are they on billboards everywhere? How do they have all that beautiful artwork in there? And all the entertainment, like how, you know, and meanwhile, everything is, it looks like an even playing field. Well, it may just be that they're leveraging assets that they have. And so instead of having to pay cash, for the billboards or for the vacations, for their grease trap cleaning, for their, music and entertainment, their linens being cleaned or their, you know, even print advertising menus, et cetera. They're simply saying, look, the doors are open, the electricity's on, the water is boiling, and I have a wait staff that nobody comes in. They're not making anything. You know, they're relying on the tips. When it comes to a trade, it could be a company that says, look, I want to be able to frequent your restaurant. I want to be able to bring my clients there. I want to maybe bring my employees there. And so we'll do a trade. Let's say we start with $5,000. I'll keep it even simple, just say $1,000. If they say, I'd like to do a trade with you, let's say you're an attorney and you're like, I want to do a trade with this amazing restaurant. But they may say, thanks, but, you know, my husband's an attorney. So right there, you may think, did that deal just die? It's not a possibility. But when you think outside the box and you're forming your own ecosystem or you belong to a trade exchange such as SBC, you could say, I want to buy $1,000 retail. Of gift cards so I can bring clients through. And in reality, what did that really cost the company? Whatever their rate was to provide those services to somebody else in the ecosystem that helps them earn the intangible value or trade dollars for their services. And now they in turn can just spend it with somebody else in the ecosystem. And now the restaurant's benefiting because, like I said, everything else, business open as usual. There's nothing worse than, you know, pulling up to a restaurant and seeing not enough cars in front of it or not enough people at the table. I think you and I probably have experienced that at some point. Like, maybe I pass and go to another restaurant. It doesn't look like it's popular or whatever.
Right.
And so it does help. It does help fill empty seats, which is great. You talk about the power of groundswell and word of mouth advertising. So if you're having an amazing, you know, meal there, the natural thing is you're going to be talking about it. You could tweet, you know, or put it on Instagram. You tell your neighbors, your friends, whatever. And that results in word of mouth advertising, which is very, very valuable. But also now there's $1,000 of credit that was earned that now can be spent on, you know what? I'm going to use that and get my menus redone. Or I'm going to do a contest with all of my team. And have like the best, you know, type of, incentive that we could give them a cruise or a vacation, or I want to use the money, trade money, intangible money that we earned, and get on a billboard. And, you know, if we could find one, you know, for that price, or you could just keep building on the value, you know, every month. But, so you could take two different companies, but the same industry and wonder, well, why is one seemingly doing so well? You know, so much more better than the other. And oftentimes you may not realize how they're actually leveraging their resources, their assets, and thinking outside the box to acquire many needed goods, services, resources by just leveraging what they have and holding on to their precious cash.
Well, that's just an awesome overview. I think this is a great place to take a break because I want people to think about that. What makes to me the difference between what I used to think of barter, it's really one-to-one. I don't have another choice. I have to just, you know, my options are limited as to what I can barter. This is opens up an entire new world where the value is never lost and you can always expand it, use it for whatever you want. That can change from minute to minute, from year to year. So let's take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lori Sosa, and you can go to her website, SBCglobal.com, which is Southern Barter Club. And before the break, I was trying to, it took me a bit, I would have to say, since it was new to me initially, to understand the power of what you just said, that it was limitless. I could use it to get stuff for my office. I could use it for my home. I could get my home painted. I could travel, you know, barter timeshares, all sorts of things for vacation. And it was amazing to me that so many seemingly disparate businesses would all come together under one umbrella and give you, really, it's a parallel system that is not connected in any way, really, except for what we used to have, which is you have a service, I buy your service, there's no jacking the price up, there's no drama, there's no nothing in between me and the person that I'm working with. For doctors, for example, insurance companies, which is the bane of our existence because it works against the doctor and the patient, which is not really what a middleman's supposed to do. This whole system just bypasses that. It's just incredible that now it's gone from just everywhere, United States to other countries. Out of curiosity, how many, if you can tell me, how many countries are outside of the US that you can work with?
So just about every country has pockets of cities that have their own community currency and trade barter exchange. So the power of being part of an actual professional barter club, such as SBC Global Barter, Southern Barter Club, is that we have in-house, the directory with the drop-down buttons that will be able to say, oh, you're heading to, this actually just happened. We had somebody heading to Arizona, and they needed a, pickup service, like a limousine service. They needed, accommodations of where to stay. They wanted attractions. They wanted dining. They were going to some sort of convention. Now, remember, with barter, there are blackout dates. So in other words, like the different hotels nearby that he wanted to stay in, he wasn't able to get because they had so many conference attendees staying at that same exact hotel for that conference at that time, paying cash. But we were able to say, well, how about these options 20 minutes away? And how about these restaurants that you could dine at in the evening or the day before, the day after? So that's the beautiful part of being able to be part of like an organized trade exchange where you could tap in. I even have hotels all the way in Abuja and Nigeria, in Argentina, South Africa. Oftentimes they hold on to the credit because to them, it's newfound revenue. So in other words, we're going to have a new customer come into our hotel that otherwise would not have known about it. But the barter club, promoted it and said, hey, you can stay here. This is an option. And so they earn the trade dollars for the stay. But the really unique thing about it is that when they're there, they're dining in the restaurant. That's cash. They're booking maybe a tourism, trip. That's cash. They're in the gift shop buying like some trinkets or T-shirts or something. That's cash. So, but meanwhile, they earned, barter currency, trade dollars for the stay because we sent them business they wouldn't have had otherwise. And now they can bank that online and until they decide, well, maybe I'm going to come into the United States and need a place to stay. Or maybe I want to get a website rebuilt or a landing page. They could decide how they want to use the credits that they earn. But the interesting thing, Dr. George, is yes, we're a currency. Yes, we're all about empowering people, to conduct commerce in other ways other than just traditional, mm-hmm. fiat. However, there's so many other values, like the word of mouth advertising, opening up new markets. Maybe that's a new way to penetrate a market is, getting your product into, a store or, at a place that maybe otherwise they wouldn't have been ordering your product. So it's just a very creative way. So a lot of people wind up joining and starting bartering, not only for the economical reason, but they also just love the new relationships, helping and being involved in the community, forging the new relationships or entering into a new market and just getting that word of mouth advertising. So there's a lot of benefits behind the scenes of why people do engage in an alternative way of conducting commerce.
So for those who are still in the paradigm that we all are exposed to, cash or credit card or things like the digital currencies or Bitcoin, that sort of thing, I just wanted to, make sure people understood, this is not any of that correct. This is literally sweat equity. It's what you offer. It's nothing. There's no money in that sense changing hands from a strict barter standpoint. Is that a way to think about it?
Yeah. So everybody has their set price. So in the case of a restaurant, you know, you could be dining in the booth next to me and looking at the menu, and, you know, a steak dinner is let's say $40 in cash. You pay $40 in cash or use your credit card, $40. But if they're a member of the barter network, you pay $40 in trade currency, SBC dollars in trade currency. But that would be the same thing even if you're not part of a barter club. So if you just want to just get the barter mindset, to hold on to your precious cash and forge relationships, support local business, there's nothing like supporting local business, you'd be able to say, you know, to where you want to conduct business with outside of cash, I'd love to work with you, and here's how I'd like to do it dollar for dollar. You know, so it's not like because it's a trade and not cash, well, that steak becomes $50, not $40. No, it has to be, you know, the true MSRP. So if you're a manufacturer and you have a widget or you have a piece of clothing, whatever's on that ticket, you know, that you know, the price tag, what the true MSRP is, well, that's what it's going to be in our currency or in a barter. Everything has to not be inflated. And you also don't discount either because it's not cash. You know, so it's truly just what the true MSRP is of the value of the service or the goods that you're providing or receiving.
I absolutely love that. And from the standpoint of growth, what you just described, I assume that happens quite a lot. You may have favorite, I don't know, cleaner or maybe someone who works, you know, is cutting your lawn. You could potentially go to them and turn them on, so to speak, to this system and have them become members of the barter club, correct? There's no limit to who can join and what, you know, there's no cutoff, basically, is what I guess I'm asking.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a gentleman join recently that had 500 pairs of Brazilian, beautiful Brazilian leather shoes. And he went out of business. The business failed, unfortunately. And yet he still had, you know, his share was 500 pairs of leather shoes. And he's like, can I join the barter club? Well, of course, you have an asset. You have something that you said that you don't want to see them in your house anymore. They're piled up on the floor to the ceiling in your house. You know, so now we could put a value on it. Oh, these shoes are, you know, $79 or $179, whatever the true MSRP is on your website and what it was being sold for cash. Now, you know, we could, you know, sell these to, you know, anybody else in the barter network. It could be individual by individual. It could be, you know, like a little boutique that wants to buy a bunch. It could be a nonprofit that maybe received donations and trade money and has a credit and wants to spend it on behalf of the less fortunate. And it could be a philanthropic way. So you don't have to be, I mean, everything is, it's a directory where full disclosure, you know, we have a profile of who, you know, the user is. So their full information and, it is reportable income when we're talking about a professional barter exchange. That's our responsibility, to send to the IRS at the end of the year, the 1099s that, you know, the new revenue that was earned. So there's that responsibility. So you have to have something that either you have a business and you register the business. Or it could just be someone, like I just said, they found themselves with excess inventory or an available. It could be somebody who says, you know, I have a lake house or cabin up in the mountains. And when it's not for, you know, for rent and filled by Airbnb or VRBO.com, I'll make it available and accept the trade currency. I wouldn't have had it filled anyway. I love the idea that I can earn currency on my hotel or my lake house or my Airbnb when it otherwise is not filled, even if it's Friday morning and you realize, oh, Friday, Saturday, Sunday's empty. Even if it's at the last minute, there are people who get the barter mindset that it becomes, you know, it otherwise was not available or sold, I should say. It otherwise was not sold for cash. So at the very last minute, there's this great opportunity. You know, so truly it could be someone who has a garden and says, you know what, I'm going to reserve an X percentage of my produce and I'll make it available to somebody, maybe, you know, to you know, an eye doctor, you know, and maybe they don't want that. So we make that available to somebody else in the network. They earn the currency and then they can send it with the eye doctor. So when you're part of an actual, you know, professional trade exchange, you take out of the equation the incidence of coincidence where, wow, we found the same exact, you know, need, like they're looking for what I have, I'm looking for what they have, and it's the same exact value. that doesn't really happen in the real world very often, right?
Mm-mm.
So you're not going to say, my cost is $500 for my service. That's what everybody pays me. That's what the going rate is. But because it's barter and because you only have, $300 worth of produce, that doesn't make sense. So it would either have to be $300 worth of produce and $200 cash, or $200 worth of something else. Or let's not make it difficult. Sell it to somebody else in the network. They will pay you the trade dollars that you put in your virtual online barter account. And then you could give the online barter dollars, to the company that you want to use, because they maybe, for example, weren't interested in what you had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's so many different ways that people, have resources, they have just, you wouldn't even believe the things that have come through our network. It could be, I've sold probably maybe 7 or 8 pieces of land over the years. I've sold vehicles. I've sold, RVs and trailers, amazing gems, diamond bracelets and necklaces and rings, and just, sometimes it's excess inventory. It could be someone who, like I said, with the gentleman's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just having that mindset of, I have something of value. I'm not going to discount it, but I'm open to an even, transaction. And then it's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. On that note, let's take our next break. Because when we come back, I want to expand that mindset, that thought, and ask you about, my feeling is this is real wealth. And I wanted to get your take on that. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Miss Lori Sosa. Before the break, you just really made my eyes open up to what we're talking about. This is actual wealth, is what you're describing. And everybody thinks of wealth in a very finite way. There's a lot of ways to think about it. What you offer is your wealth, your ability to create, your ability to run a business, your ability to offer things that people, services that people need. That is actual wealth. It's not what someone pays you, like in the classic sense, which means it's limitless. Your ability to be creative and think outside the box is limitless. This is really just eye-opening, and to me, just makes me really happy. Because everything is about what you can't do in our society. It's about creating lack and making you feel that you're the only one and you can't succeed unless you do X, which usually means you have to put yourself in a box and somehow deny yourself either your authenticity, sometimes your freedom, you name it. This is outside of that entire system. Is that how you see it?
That is how I see it. And that is how the very unique network that, that has that mindset sees it. It becomes much bigger than doing the trade, because yes, it's an unbelievable way to create your own wealth. Your wealth is your network. You've heard that before, but in this case, it truly is.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, everybody is interconnected and has the common goal of, let's support, each other's business, what each other needs or wants, and think outside the box and see if we could make it work. Some people are just so addicted to it because it really truly is exciting to see that, you may have something that you're thinking is absolutely, not of value to you. But meanwhile, to somebody else, it's just, better than, the next thing. They just can't imagine that, oh, wow, I could get this by leveraging something else. So yes, that barter mindset truly opens up a pathway to wealth. I have, clients that have been to dozens and dozens of countries, and they, not with the airplane flights, but with the accommodations that they're able to stay, wow, without, using my trade dollars and the network of like-minded businesses, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I have clients that have actually purchased businesses. Our company years ago, I'm talking years and years and years ago, had purchased a woman's wedding store, And it was, over a couple hundred, I think it was over $100,000. I know that much. I can't remember. It's so long ago. But we actually opened up a whole cash business. Meanwhile, we bought the entire business without cash with our trade currency. And so we have clients that with that mindset. So even though we're you know, kind of wired to think of what I need, what my business needs. But now when you're in a barter system or barter mindset, is, wow, I have these resources, these services I can provide, you know, these assets, these available, resources, connections. I'm going to put a value on it. And if it's not something that I need, but I know that the other party would be interested, let me create a value for somebody else, maybe on behalf of a nonprofit or a cause, maybe on behalf of somebody else, a colleague that I know would need this. And then I could work something out with them on the back end where I could get this for them through a barter or a trade, and then I'll work something out with them down the line with something that I need. So it's really exciting and amazing to see the creativity when it comes to, having the barter mindset.
Absolutely.
Of, what you could create, not just the value for yourself, for your family, for your business, but it's awesome to see people. I'll just give you another example. We had somebody who in our network, whose their child passed away. And so the community in our network came together, and we just said, and many of them didn't even know who the person was, but they just knew they were a member of our barter network. And we just said, we're coming together to raise, support, and anyone that wants to donate trade dollars, because we want to do this whole darn thing on trade. And so the funeral, so we've done the funeral on trade. We did the program printing on trade. We did the, what is that called? The pass, afterwards, where everything was like the food and the wine and the wait staff, the tents and the chairs and the tables. And it's beautiful to see people come together because they're in an ecosystem that supports one another.
That's wonderful. It's one of the most devastating things, parts of people's lives. And to have all of that, to do it the way you want to and not have money be an object, is just incredible. And you know, what also strikes me about the system is that it's immune to things like inflation and, the power of the currency. It's irrelevant because it's actually a service. So it doesn't change, right? This is not like 1 year you're going to sell it for one and then the value drops. And it's very consistent, isn't it?
It keeps up with the exact economy. We're just a parallel economy when you're trading. And same thing with other currencies. It keeps up with whatever the currency is in another country. We've actually been speaking with some countries that have asked us to, and they're, it hasn't been set up yet, but it's all exploratory right now, but where they would consider setting up barter systems for like the local men and women who, for example, they have yams, they have rice, they could babysit, they have a lot of resources that they could just trade amongst themselves, and they don't have a proper like barter system in place to help them, just realize a lot of more value and a lot of more resources that they otherwise would not be able to pay, the currency. So it's just a very, creative way, for communities to engage. And the best thing is, like you said about value, this is backed by real, when you do a trade and a barter, it has to be backed by real goods and services and the fair market price, not like this inflated price, $5 for a potato, So it's, it literally is, real goods and services. And these are business owners that are, and people that are not just going to accept, what a price is if it doesn't make sense. So of course they're going to go get a second price. But like, you're telling me to paint my house is $3,500. Well, let me go ahead and get two cash quotes. And if they come back with a cash quote for $5,000 and a cash quote for $3,000, then they may realize, the $3,500 in trade barter, that makes sense to me.
Gotcha.
But if it was the other way around, it's up to them. If it's the other way around where, they're asking $5,000 on barter and they can find it for cash, the $3,500, it's up to them. Do they want to, you know, pay, you know, $5,000 barter and hold on to that $3,500 cash? Or it depends on how they earn the trade. And let me just give an example. You know, if it's like a retail store or a business at Keystone, you know, if they're going to spend $1,000, maybe they invested $500 to be able to now sell something at $1,000. You know, that may make sense to them, you know, because that's their cost of doing business. Everybody has a cost of doing business. If it's just someone who builds websites and they earn $1,000 in a day, well, building a website, it's the same thing in the barter trade world. If they charge $1,000 trade dollars, it's their sweat equity. They don't have to pay somebody out, and that's their cost of doing business. So now when they go to spend that $1,000, in reality, it's off, they literally truly save not paying $1,000 cash. But that may be different, you know, than you know, somebody who says, you know, I have to go buy something for $500 cash at wholesale at the mart in order to be able to earn $1,000 cash, or to be able to earn $1,000 barter. They would have had to invest $500 cash. There's still $500 ahead of the game, you know, getting $1,000 spending power, investing $500 cash to go buy something that would yield them, you know, $1,000 sale. But I guess the point is for people to understand that no matter what the trade is, everybody is different. Every person that's trading has a different cost of earning their trade currency. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does, actually. So once you've entered this ecosystem and you have your barter dollars that are banked, so to speak, does that ever go away? Is it in perpetuity? How long does it last? Do you have to use it by a certain time? Just so people can understand that part of it.
Sure. So as long as they have an open account and they're, you know, active, then, you know, the agreement is that they're, you know, part of the barter system. But they have an active account. But if we have someone that has been in the barter system and let's say it's 6 months that they just totally did not, even log in, they're not active, they're not answering phone calls and not posting anything new, they're not paying their fees, then we don't just want people in on a list in a network, you know, saying we want people that are active. So then their account will be closed, and they know that up front if they're not going to be engaged. But there are others that have the mindset as I'm going to take this to the day that I retire. This is going to be my retirement fund. You know, there's not much sometimes when a hardworking person finally gets to retire, but if they've earned these trade credits, even if they, you know, they retire and they no longer have their business, they've earned the trade credits. So now they could say, oh, I'm going to go to a restaurant, or I'm going to use this to, you know, maybe, you know, get a room in my house painted, maybe, you know, go to a little vacation, maybe some of the perks that they in retirement, it might've been harder, to be able to, you know, to, acquire those types of things, but they could rely on their trade account almost like a retirement fund that they could tap into if and when what they're looking for is available on barter or trade.
Well, that's really outstanding, especially now that we know some of these retirement accounts are getting the values dropped. And it's almost, I think, a major surprise for some folks that they may not have it. I read an article a couple of days ago about how, I think it was 3M, they're no longer offering 401ks to their employees. And that's a huge shock. If you'd worked there for, you know, years and years, and all of a sudden a rug is being pulled and all that equity that you put in is gone. I mean, that's just shocking to me.
It's tragic. Yeah. It's very, very, very sad. And the interesting thing is how the interconnectivity, in a professional network anyway, is that, you know, if somebody, like, for example, when I first opened SBC, there was a barter exchange in South Carolina where they opened another business and it really took off. And for whatever reason, they just weren't going to be able to maintain their barter exchange. And so, you know, my company was able to, they were able to put their members into our, you know, network. We were able to, let those members still be part of the SBC network, even though the local exchange where they locally had their, had earned and spent their barter money. Now they're just in a bigger club. So that's the beautiful part about, like, being part of a barter exchange. I mean, sometimes when, you know, you're like to the neighbor, hey, you know, I'd like to, I'll go ahead and I'll give you all this jewelry and I want to give it the haircut for my children or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What if the neighbor moves away and you didn't cash in on your haircuts? What if she goes out of business? Or so that happens on one-on-one trades, unfortunately, where, you know, sometimes there's circumstances beyond whoever's control and the other party doesn't fulfill a trade. That's not good. But, you know, you got to stay on it and keep track of who you're trading with if you're not part of a barter club. But when you're part of a barter exchange, barter club, then, you know, you earn your trade money and you bank it online and now you just spend it with somebody else. Not that you're expected to only trade with the person that you either sold to on trade or want to buy to trade. Hope that makes sense.
It does. It means that you have safety so that there is like a, you know, there's somebody who's keeping tabs of all of these things and there's accountability. So it's not like you're just going out in the Wild West and hope for the best, which I think is really makes you feel very satisfied and very safe in this type of system.
But for those that, for whatever reason, don't want to be part of an organized system, I guess the biggest thing I think you and I want to help people understand is the magic of barter, where you build, you know, relationships that you otherwise wouldn't have had. You're building value and a safety net of, okay, I could hold on to my cash here because I know I could trade, you know, mm-hmm. you know, my goods or my services or my resources, my assets, something that I have and create a value. So if anything, that's what I'm hoping that people that are listening in today, they get is that, you know, there's a true value in, you know, considering yourself as if you're the, you know, you're creating your own little barter system, your own little ecosystem. I want to do my dry cleaning here up the street. I want to eat at this restaurant every now and then. I want to advertise in this newspaper. And guess what? You know, I own a landscaping company or I own a jewelry store. So I can make available my resources to the people that I want to trade with. So people could create their very own trades, one-off, you know, or on a regular basis, their own little ecosystem. I did that even with my office at one time, you know, the people that I knew I wanted to work with. This is before I started my trade exchange, but okay, this person's amazing with automation, or this person's great with graphics, this person is great with research or editing. And I know that we're going to have to somehow or another use their skills that or their resources. Hey, don't pay cash for your office. Have an office at my office. And let's put a value on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So there's creative ways that you could do this in or outside of a professional trade exchange.
Well, I think that's, to me, what makes it it's so powerful because you, as the individual, have the ability to create and craft what you want. It's not rigid, which I think is one of the most powerful things about it. So let's take our last break because I want to, you know, give some more examples. You mentioned some amazing ones. Buying land, that's incredible. I can't even imagine. Or buying an RV, that's just incredible stuff to me. So let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. And we're speaking with Ms. Lori Sosa. Lori, your website, once again, is sbcglobal.com, correct?
Barter.
I'm sorry.
sbcglobalbarter.com.
Apologies, sbcglobalbarter.com. Now, before the break, you've given just wonderful examples, and I wanted to let people know that these are not just random small examples here. Like, for example, medical services. I see on the website there are dental services. Our office, Peachtree ENT Center, is also a member of some of the barter clubs. So we offer, you know, physician services there. Are we talking about other specialties as well? I mean, the gamut of medical services, for example?
Well, we have a variety of goods and services that some companies in the past. Now, not everything that somebody wants is always available, but maybe that may warrant going into another state if it makes sense to get it if we don't have it in our state. That's the beautiful part of having a connective, reciprocal, you know, trading relationship. But so, for example, if somebody, you know, said, and I think we both have a mutual friend that, you know, contact that we have, If somebody said they wanted blood, their blood tested, if somebody said they wanted they broke their foot or their ankle and they needed to go to a podiatrist,
mm-hmm.
That's something that they could, use their barter credits and go and use. Same thing with dental work, with tattoo removal, laser hair removal. There's a variety of different types of healthcare services that are in the network. But if we don't have them for whatever reason, when a client wants to use it, because if somebody has a very strong cash day, cash week, cash month, or they maybe have just done a bunch of trade and they want to spend their trade before they are earning their barter again, then that's the value of us being able to connect to another reciprocal trade group in another city, and to be able to say, well, look, it's not Georgia, but look, you can go, because we've done that. We don't have it right now, but years ago we did have a plastic surgeon, and actually one of my clients, whenever we saw her, she was beautiful. She was like a walking billboard, because it was like she had her eyes done, she had her, her breasts, done, her thighs and her tanning, like everything. She was like a walking billboard. And so we actually had trade exchanges in other states that would contact us and say, can we stay in your hotel? Can we send a client that would use your doctor and get some, plastic surgery? And so we would make that available to someone in another state, in a club in another state, and vice versa, in other words. So it's not always ideal, to have a healthcare service, mm-hmm. Outside of your state, but if it's something simple, or if there's accommodations available or family in that same state, then it may be worth it. But I guess the true value is the participation of the members that are in the network. When they, want something very specific, then they should, either make the request known, and or they don't even have to make the introduction. It's easier when they make an introduction, but if they could say, this is a company that I know would be interested and know would be open to trading with SBC, can you contact them? And that's how we grow the network and the trades, both mm-hmm. the wants and the needs of the businesses in the network.
Are you finding now that the economy is kind of topsy-turvy to a degree that people are more open, not non-traditional barter members, companies, let's say, you mentioned people can get cars through it. Is that coming from people bartering or selling their own car? Or are we talking about something more a standard, like a car dealership type of thing?
So we have done both. So we have individuals that, have maybe a paid in full car and will resell a car that's maybe 6 or 7 years old, or, 5, 6, 7 years old, and they'll accept the currency. They've done that with boats, golf carts, a lot of other types of vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But we also do have two, I don't know if they're trading right now, but they've done a lot of probably, dozens over the years, two used car lots that are here, one in Georgia and one in Alabama, that have traded with us over the years. And my company in itself has purchased two over the years from them, but we like to really just leave everything for, we offer it to the network first. If the network doesn't, buy it or grab it or whatever, and it's available and they're looking to earn trade money, then oftentimes we'll buy inventory and then resell it. So keep that in mind too, because sometimes people will worry, like, how do I know if I'm going to be able to? I'll just give an example. I have somebody that had the need to sell $1,500 retail of paparazzi jewelry. This is just a simple it's a costume jewelry. It's like an MLM type of a company that this person is part of.
Mm-hmm.
And the jewelry piece is only $5 a piece. It's costume jewelry, but she had $1,500. It's a lot of pieces.
Mm.
And she didn't want to have to wait, to earn her barter to have this. That's a lot of pieces to have to sell to a bunch of different people. And so, you know, we know that our clients need the trade money. Oftentimes our inventory account will just buy it. And then we could either donate it, you know, to a nonprofit or a women's, you know, shelter, or use it as prizes or giveaways, or just resell it, you know, when we have like a little event or whatever. And so in that case, a simple little trade, but, you know, we purchased it so she didn't have to like try to engage with like how many multiple people to try to sell $1,500 worth of just $5 costume jewelry.
It sounds like it works for whatever the member needs it to work for. Now, from a networking standpoint, do you have any gatherings or events that people go to so that they can kind of get to know each other and get to know more about bartering?
So that was something that we did for years, and it always was very supported up until, you know, unfortunately the pandemic and the economic downturn. We have done a handful of in-person events since then, but they weren't as supported as much. I guess people just got very used to Zoom. So we did do a couple of Zooms, and actually even sold some things by just holding it up. I almost felt like Vanna White, you know, like posing up and showing it. But, you know, that could be a goal again, you know, for SBC, you know, down the line. So we really have not been strong the past couple of years with in-person events. But we are very strong in supporting our clients' events. So if one of our clients is having an open house or some sort of event and they want to accept currency for the tickets, if it's a paid event, paid for event, or if they just want, you know, to meet new, really good people and they want us to extend the invitation, then we could blast that out to our network and let them know this is a member company and they're having an open house or they're having an event or whatever. So we'll always support our members who are hosting the in-person events.
Got you. And just for people who are listening to the show all over the world, actually, who would like to get more information and become part of the network, how would they go about doing that?
So I guess the best way is, if you're in the South, to go to southernbarterclub.com and go to the website. And if it's anywhere outside the South, sbcglobalbarter.com. And you could email us from there. You could, you know, take a look and understand, you know, the different types of ways that people trade and what, you know, pretty much what the model is. It's on our sbcglobalbarter.com.
Lori, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. You were a wealth of information, and I hope people have like had their minds opened to other avenues of being independent, you know, gaining your wealth in an independent way so that you always have control over it. You're not going to be buffeted by what's happening outside of you, but you control your destiny.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's about getting that barter mindset. Taking things into, you know, being a creative outside the box thinker, and you'll see a whole new value, not just, you know, with revenue wise, but also with being around strong minded and, you know, other types of businesses that are like minded.
I love
open
that.
To creative ways to work together and support one another.
That's what it should be about. So once again, thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are, so I really appreciate you joining me today.
I enjoyed it. It was good catching up with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure. I want to thank you, and thank you everybody for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.